Journalist and author Jeff Hanisch saw Earl perform many times during this period.
I guess the first time I saw him, he was playing at Tipitina's. He used to play there quite regularly. I found out Earl used to hang around the it was a lunch counter at the K&B on the corner of Louisiana and St. Charles. And he would sit in there with his briefcase and his notebook, and you could pretty much go up to him and ask him questions about his career, what he was doing, and other people. And then they closed that lunch counter, and he kind of moved his operation over to the Tasty Donut, which was on Louisiana and Britannia Street. He was there most evenings. That was kind of his hangout. I remember watching him sit in with Room Full of Blues one night. They were in town on a Tuesday or something, and they got Earl to come in and sit in, and he did a version of the things I used to do. And I remember I was standing next to Hammond Scott, and I turned to him and I said, "You'll never hear that song sound that good again as long as you live." And he just kind of turned to me and nodded his head.
Owner of Blacktop Records and Earl King's current producer, Hammond Scott.
Room Full used to come to town fairly often for a lot of reasons. He really liked them, and I introduced him to Ronnie Earl, and he really liked Ronnie a lot. And at that time, that became an easy, good reason to make a record, is putting Room Full of Blues together with Earl King, because there were these great performances that had happened at Tips on a number of occasions where Earl would get up and be so hot with them that we decided to collaborate on a record, and he was very much up for the idea.
I'm sitting up at the bar, and I went in there kind of early. I said, "I'm going to give me a couple of beers, and I'm going home." Sitting at the bar, and the guy passed me to get the stop, turn around, come back. "You Earl King?" I said, "Yeah." "Don't move. I'll be right back." Went to put his guitar up on the stage, and he come back there. I said, "Look, man, I'm Ron Earl. You got to hear this band." Just like that. I said, "Well, I wasn't planning on staying here too long." I said, "Because I came in to get a couple of beers, and I wanted to make it on home." He said, "No, man. You could hear one song before you get out of here." They went up there and played it, and I was there till they got off. That's how I met them. Matter of fact, Luann Barton was singing in the band with them, and Luann was kind of sick then. She kind of hoarse. She said, "Earl, why don't you go up there and sing a number? Give me a little relief, because I don't feel good, you know." So I goes up there and sing a couple of songs with him. That was it. Hammond was in there. Hammond said, "Earl, I hear you play with Room Full. Man, y'all got to cut an album together." And he was talking about 3-4 years. And then one day he walked up and said, "Look, man, we're on. This is it. We got to do it." And that's how that come about.
We had so many good times.
Earl King's collaboration with Room Full of Blues was his first record in over a decade. The album, called Glazed, featured a song that has been redone by Guitar Shorty and Boz Scaggs, the tune It All Went Down the Drain.
But when you saw something fresh, you wanted next to your pretty little flesh. Oh, like the sewer when it rains.
That was the first album I did with Room Full of Blues, and we were nominated for a Grammy that year. When we were doing the Glazed album, we had a lot of fun, the band and everything. Everything was just like smooth. We didn't have no hassles at all. Great thing, great feeling to do that. Glazed, that's the one they shot the picture of the whole band in the donut shop. That's why I named it Glaze.
Earl's next record was released in 1990. Its title, Sexual Telepathy.
I'm lying here in my bed. I'm horny as I could be. I'm thinking real hard about you, baby. And I know you
were in the process of putting thoughts together to do that particular album. We hadn't finalized the composition that we were going to do. That's one of the things with that. But we finally got that together. The last song on it was the title song on the album that had me hung up, Sexual Telepathy. I was out here and I said, man, I got to finish this song. And I happened to be driving through City Park one night, it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning, I had my guitar, my acoustic on the back seat, and my tape recorder on the front seat. And I said, I put something hit me in the head, and I say, oh, I got it now. I got the last two verses I need, and I pull on the side, and I turn the tape recorder on. I got it.
Now, when he did Sexual Telepathy years later, that's the record that really got it where we could get her all with a booking agent. It started being a lot of demand for him after that record. Sexual Telepathy album is sort of what really got him out on the road. And the way that record was structured, it was easy for a lot of great bands around the country to learn that material and do a pretty good job of pulling it off with him. Not because it was any easy or anything, because it was a pretty ambitious record.
Another tune featured on Sexual Telepathy is one many Earl King fans call a favorite song, Time for the Sun to Rise.
Why must it come so soon? Whoa, sunrise. You don't suit me.
When you hear things like Time for the Sun to Rise, that didn't sound like anything else anybody has ever written. Now, there might be a certain place where he resolves that song that kind of reminds you of Hendrix or somebody like that, but I mean, he was out there before that. Earl's a very spiritual kind of person, and lyrically his songs are very different. So much of what comes through in his music, like Time for the Sun to Rise, he's talking about sort of going to another place where there's peace, and a lot of the problems that pervade us aren't there, and then he wakes up and it's time for the sun to rise, and of course he's back to reality. That kind of thing is always going to work on people's imagination when you can be spiritual enough to write those type of lyrics that sort of talk about how you'd like things to be, and yet at the same time you're not bitter about how things are. You have a sense of humor about it, sort of a wry sense of humor.
On the horizon beneath the sky, oh, sunrise. Always catch me by surprise. Each night I return to Loveland. It's a name I heard some old fella say. I found me a loving hand, but somehow I just couldn't stay. By the time I've found my prize, it's time for that old sun to rise.
Believe it or not, that's one of my better songs in live performances. Really weird, too. The guy that inspired me to put that drone on it, see, I'm an avid fan of Ravi Shankar. That's what that drone is about. The only thing I use different than they do on the sitar is I use what they call a control drone. I make the drone do what I want. See, the resonation from the drones on the sitar, they resonate by themselves, you see? But in my case, that drone is repetitive on that. Man, Ravi Shankar.
Always wanna be.